Now, this idea of cultural appropriation, where has this actually stemmed from? How long has this one sort of been a topic of debate?
Well, I think cultural appropriation has been a topic of debate since we identified racism, really. For this particular case, I would say it's attached to what's called Orientalism, which is the reduction of people from the Orient or Asian countries or from the East in terms of stereotypes and in terms of the ways that they're written of that make them exotic or make them kind of a fetish object or a consumable object. So it, in a sense, it's kind of, you know, explicitly racist, but it's also about the way Asianness is consumed. So in effect, cultural appropriation might not ostensibly be seen to be racist, but it could certainly be racist. And I think in this case, that's what's kind of been calling out. There's a feeling about the stereotyping that goes with the wearing of the dress itself. I mean, in Said's terms, in terms of Orientalism, he would identify latent and manifest Orientalism. Manifest Orientalism is really explicit forms of racism that actually stereotypes Eastern and Asian cultures explicitly and deliberately. The latent stuff is the more subliminal stuff, the more unconscious stuff. So the kind of everyday stuff, an Asian pattern on the wall, a silk screen, maybe even this dress. So this is the point at which we're debating the issue, because we're at the kind of nexus between cultural appropriation versus cultural appreciation and consumption. So where do we draw the line? People are obviously offended, aren't they? And there's probably good reason for that. But at the same time, she was able to purchase the dress, and she's from Utah in the United States. And the dress itself might or might not have historical symbolism, but that's also a point of debate, as you've already mentioned. So the appropriation, I guess, is a matter of interpretation in some ways, too.
Well, when we talk about that kind of interpretation, I mean, cultural appropriation, doesn't it just apply to Orientalism? We've seen it applied to white people with dreadlocks. Some people take offense at that kind of thing. Do we have a real definition of what is cultural appropriation? I mean, you kind of mentioned there it's a very thin line. It's a debated line at the moment. Do we have a real definition of what it is?
Well, my understanding of it is certainly that literally an appropriation of particular images or ideas or behaviours or stereotypes from certain cultures, usually with a detrimental effect. So it's usually, certainly in cultural theory and cultural politics, it's usually referring to a reduction of cultural difference and a use of the signifiers and motifs of certain cultures in ways that benefit the dominant culture. So in this case, we're talking about a dominant white Western American culture versus a seemingly marginalised Chinese culture or Chinese American diaspora. So when one culture takes another culture's kind of obvious identifiers and use it for their own purposes, literally appropriates them.
And I know, obviously, in this particular case we're discussing, as we said, this is a white teenager from Utah who has, in the words of these online debaters, appropriated a Chinese dress. We spoke before about, you know, white people with dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. It often speaks, as you touched upon there, it speaks to dominant culture taking away from other diaspora, and these are often seen as sort of a way of looking at these underlying power structures and the unfairness of underlying power structures. And guess where it gets a little bit murky? I know there was another case recently with Nicki Minaj dressed in a sort of a Chun Lin outfit as a character from Street Fighter, and basically saying, can a black woman like Nicki Minaj culturally appropriate from a culture which she is not a part of, given there is no power imbalance there? What's your take on that one?
Okay. Well, in a sense, I guess then we start to talk about who's controlling the meanings around those images. I mean, whilst we would argue that, yes, Nicki Minaj is a black woman and that historically black women have been oppressed within the larger frameworks of American society, we'd probably also argue that she's probably less marginalised within the American context than the Asian figures that she kind of dresses up as or represents. But it's not just Nicki Minaj. I mean, look at Cardi B, for example, dressing in the kind of Islamic or Middle Eastern look. Gigi Hadid recently doing blackface for Italian Vogue and making the Buddha face, which got her excluded from Fashion Week in China. So there's a lot of different kinds of images that circulate in popular culture, and in some ways it's cultural shorthand, in some ways it's just fashion, in some ways it's just trends. So the point of sensitivity and the point of political pressure comes in where we feel like someone else's culture is somehow being disparaged or being used for certain effect. You might argue that Nicki Minaj is doing this for a commercial effect in a way that has no sensitivity or awareness of the ways in which she's exoticizing cultural stereotypes. Last year, Teen Vogue in America interviewed a series of women from across America with their opinions on Middle Eastern, African, Latino, Hawaiian, Asian dress as Halloween costumes, and asked them to talk about their feelings about that. And most of them were really passionate. You know, they were talking about their grandmothers and the cultural practices attached to the different ways of being and the different dress and the way they'd been marginalized. And the slogan that they used for that story was, "My culture is not a costume," right? Which actually precedes this, you know, "My culture is not your prom dress," which is the debate that's being had at the moment. So it kind of tells us that, yes, there is an insensitivity to cultural difference, and that it, you know, it erases the perceptions of the histories. I mean, obviously, you mentioned the debate around the dress, the kippah dress that she wore to the prom. There's differing versions of how that has functioned historically and what that means historically. I think a lecturer from Melbourne Uni recently said that it's more likely to be worn by call girls or women that are working in hotels or department stores these days. So it doesn't necessarily stand up as the symbol that some people on Twitter have been using it as. But again, it does speak to a kind of exoticizing. And that's the point of interpretation. If you look at the young woman from the prom, she was photographed kowtowing in one of the photographs. So that then becomes a slight problem because of the meanings we associate with her version of Asian-ness or Chinese-ness, you know? She's using a stereotypical gesture that in some ways is kind of playfully mocking the Asian character itself. So that would be a problem. She's saying obviously she didn't mean that there was no racism intended, and that could also be true. But at the end of the day, it becomes about what people are sensitive to and how they understand. Look at America at the moment. You know, it's a hotbed of cultural politics and debates over identity and debates over who has the right to perform and be and say and do things that may or may not represent other cultures. So we're living in a time of incredible sensitivity, I think. That said, I mean, why was the dress available in Utah for purchase? You know, would she wear a burqa to the prom? Would she wear, you know, any kind of other, you know, a nun's outfit to the prom? I mean, no, she wouldn't. So in a sense, the sacredness is somehow bound up with consumption, you know. We buy fans when we go on holidays, we buy hats, we do all that kind of stuff. We wear Mexican sombreros to fancy dress parties. You know, the Qantas aeroplanes have dot paintings on some of them, Aboriginal dot paintings. Is that cultural appropriation? You know, what point does that serve? So we kind of have to balance our understanding of the ethics around each of these images and take it case by case, I think.
No easy answers in, and especially in this day and age, as you mentioned there, Anthony. Well, very much appreciate your time. Like we say, very contentious issue, very complex issue. Really appreciate your time this morning.
You're very welcome. Thanks.